When I first proposed this article, that we should do some work on this topic to the planning committee, I was met with a chorus of thunderous silence. And and Carrie was there, and there was this. Once they got over it, go through the silence, they said, "Well, why do we need to do this?" And I said, "Well, it's a topic that most real estate lawyers use in their practice. It's an item, an aid, if they have a closing that has work to be done post-closing. And to the best of my knowledge and research, there's never been an article written about it. There wasn't a draft proposal, and it was understood that if you called it an annotated side letter agreement, the Winstead people put out a hit on you. So that's why it's not called that. They didn't put it on the article list. They didn't put it on the program list, but they gave me the courtesy of putting me on the taxi squad and let me know that if somebody bailed, they would give me a call. And someone did bail, and they did give me a call. And so thank you to my good and dear friend, Tommy Bastian. And there's actually an Easter egg in here for Tommy, and the first person to find it gets a prize. Now, one of the things that needs to be understood is, why would you use a side letter agreement? When would you use a side letter agreement? And there are times that I think it is the proper document to use, because if you've done your purchase and sale agreement, it's a good agreement, you've turned to the title company, people are working towards closing, there are some things that are not going to be in the best drafted purchase and sale agreement. They don't need to be there.